The Jackie Capri Show.
Hola, good afternoon, and welcome to the Jackie Capri Show on Oculco Radio. I'm delighted this afternoon to introduce my first guest, who is international pianist Anthony Hewitt, who has performed both here and in the UK, who has come here today to talk about his upcoming concerts and recordings, and also to talk about the various orchestra he's performed with, and about the very own festival he runs at Alveston. Good afternoon, Anthony, and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Jackie.
First of all, let's talk a little bit about your background. I know that you went to the acclaimed Yehudi Menuhin School of Music. I think you started at a very young age, didn't you?
Well, I started playing piano when I was six, yes, and went to the Menuhin School 14, which is, well, probably not unusually young to go there, because they have, really, really young 8 year olds going there and staying for 10 years, but I had a very enjoyable few years there before I went to study in the States for 5 years.
Oh, you studied? I didn't realise you studied in the States.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Who did you study with?
Well, I had a wonderful teacher there called Leon Fleischer, who is and also Claude Frank. I actually had two teachers at the Curtis Institute, the renowned conservatory in Philadelphia, where I think a lot of the today's sort of star pianists, Lang Lang for one, Yu Jo Wang, another one, Jonathan Biss, they all studied there, so it's got quite a pedigree. And Leon Fleischer is a wonderful figure in the States, in that he was had a huge career ahead of him, had a tragically lost the use of his right hand when he was in his mid-30s.
Oh, dear.
So then he devoted his life to teaching and conducting. He is laterally, he's actually got through the use of Botox and a technique called Rolfing, he's started playing again. So in his 80s. So that's wonderful. But so yes, I had a wonderful time there. An inspirational teacher. Very fortunate to have had a very interesting musical education.
That's amazing. And were you encouraged when you were very young?
I was encouraged. Yes, I've probably in a very healthy way by particularly my mother. Father was a busy pharmacist. Still is. And mum, pushed me gently towards practicing. Took me to my lessons 3 times a week. Not a tiger mum in that sense, but at all. But there's always I always think there's something that's still in me today. A kind of conscientiousness, which, you know, an awareness of having to practice and work being something that makes you feel good about yourself, thriftiness as well, probably coming from her Scottish roots, that still be in good stead and kept me through, giving me a kind of compass, I think, in terms of my work throughout my life. So
yes.
So very lucky to have had very, very brought up in a beautiful part of the world, in Alveston, which as you rightly said, I have my festival now, but also, having been travelled around the world and given a lot of concerts and studied in very, very interesting places. So a nice mix there.
That's great. And I know that you performed in Latin America. Whereabouts?
I did, yes. Well, my first ever experience was actually in Panama when I went.
Oh.
Yes, when I went there when I was in my early 20s, played there with a violinist. And I still remember the occasion very well because not only was it, I don't think they had so many classical concerts there, but when we played, it was Beethoven's 10th violin sonata, and we played a very virtuous fast bit at the end, and I could hear the audience gasping, and that's not something that you you experience that much with seasoned sort of particularly London audiences.
Yes.
So it was a lovely experience and incredible warmth. And then I've also been to Buenos Aires, to Uruguay, to Brazil, to Peru also. So yes, I've had some nice experiences down there in Latin America, and I'd be very happy to go back anytime.
Oh, you never know. Somebody listening to the show today might offer some work for you. Now, I also see that you've been with the National Symphony Orchestra and the Princeton Symphony Orchestra in the USA, and you've also worked with the English Chamber Orchestra, the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, and the Northern Sinfonia in the UK. I mean, you've done some very, very prestigious jobs, and you've worked in venues up and down the country, all shapes and sizes, really.
Well, yes, definitely. I mean, anything from the Festival Hall on the South Bank with 3,000 plus people to you know, a local church with, you know, 30 people. So, and it's all the same, you know, obviously one gets a little bit more nervous at the Festival Hall, but you know, you're only as good as your last concert, they say.
Well, they say that, but I know you've had sell-out concerts at the Royal Festival Hall.
Well, that was, yes, and I'm also playing in Birmingham's Symphony Hall as well. But venues in all shapes and sizes, so it's certainly something that you can attribute to me because I did my Olympianist
yes,
we trip.
Don't, yes, I'd like to talk about
yes,
that.
And that certainly was venues of all shapes and sizes.
Well, we will come back to that. But meanwhile, let's hear some of your Schubert. that was lovely.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful. Now, we're going to talk about Concert Bites, which is going to be on at Camden Forge on November the 6th. And it sounds very intriguing to me because I gather that they are cooking food to go with each piece of music. So, Tony, Anthony, can you tell me some more about this?
Well, yes. I mean, the Forge is a lovely small venue in North London. And they have a very busy diary of concerts. So they've introduced this new idea of having an hour-long programme interspersed with the dishes from the country that a lot of the music is from. So I'm doing a Russian programme, and hence there'll be a Russian menu, and there's a couple of courses. We'll have an amuse-bouche, I think that's what you call it, to start with, and then a starter, and then a main course and a dessert. So I'm doing some Scriabin, so Rachmaninoff, I think, will be the starter, and the main course is Mussorgsky's Great Pictures and an Exhibition, and to end for the dessert there'll be the Flower Waltz of Tchaikovsky and Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, very appropriately. So,
oh, it sounds delicious. I wonder if the flowers will be edible.
Well, flower spelled F-L-O-W-E-R.
Oh.
Not F-L-O-U-R.
And
so hopefully it'll be self-raising flower waltz.
And I wonder if there'll be stroganoff for the main course.
Well, I think that probably will be, and probably vodka for anybody who is inclined to drink that as well.
Oh, I'm sure a few people might.
Yeah.
Now, I think we should hear your Rachmaninoff, don't you?
Well, yes. Why not?
Thank you.
Anthony, you did something rather amazing last year for charity, and you called yourself the Olympianist. So for the benefit of our listeners, can you explain exactly why you called yourself that, and what did you do?
Well, I call myself the Olympianist, partly because obviously pianist, and then we had the obvious, a lot of people know that we had the London Olympics in 2012. So it wasn't actually related to the Olympics at all, but it was really a kind of sort of a celebration, really, of being an Olympian. Not that I would say I am an Olympian, but it certainly felt like an Olympian challenge for me personally to cycle from Land's End in the very southwest of England to John O'Groats in the very northeast of Scotland, and every day give a concert. This is a popular cycling route for many. It's done by a lot of amateur cyclists, but never with a piano in a van, which is what I brought with me. I brought a piano on a van, and I was able to open up the van after a day cycling and play, sometimes in the middle of the day as well, play outdoors for audiences in market squares and things, and also use the piano in various venues across the country. So I did that over the course of 21 days for 1,200 miles. So it was an unusual project, and one which was very much enjoyed, and raised quite a lot of money for charity.
Yes, I gather you raised £13,000, and it was for children's and music charities.
It was for children's, yeah, music, sports, autism. Raised quite a lot for autism. I raised money for an organisation which supports young musicians in India as well, which was very, very, a worthy cause there, and Mayor's Fund for young musicians also, and Sustainer Scotland, which gives children in inner cities the opportunity to play with in orchestras. So yes, lots of and a few other charities as well, sports charities, and Nordoff Robbins, which is a music therapy charity. So it was hopefully what I found was that music has an amazing ability to make you feel better about yourself,
to heal,
and sport as well, those two together. So that I just hoped I could help some other people to reap the sort of benefits of doing not only music but sport, and doing them together, which was a double kind of double joy, really.
I think that's very inspirational. Yeah. And in fact, you yourself, you were inspired by people such as Sebastian Coe, weren't you?
Well, as a young boy, he was the first athlete really I saw on television in the 80s, in the probably the Moscow Olympics. I think it was 84, was it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, and the LA Olympics in 88. Mm. And his 1500 meter medal, yes, absolutely. And obviously we know he's gone on to very successfully run the Olympics, but the first thing I ever wanted to be actually was an athlete, funnily enough.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Even before you wanted to be
I wanted to be a pianist. Yes. Not that I have become an athlete, but I've certainly become a pianist, but certainly there's a part of me which I've always been very keen on doing sport and inspired by people like him. So,
and also you do a lot of cycling, as we know.
Yes.
And something else which intrigued me, that when you did your journey across Britain, you actually ascended more than 20,000 metres, the equivalent of more than twice the elevation of Mount Everest.
That's right, yeah. There's a lot of ups and downs in Britain.
That's amazing.
And we don't have any mountains that are above 3,000 feet. Well, we do in Scotland, 4,000 feet, but not that I went anywhere near them. But the combined effect of cycling every day, three or 4,000 feet, over 1,000 metres a day, contributes to over 20,000 metres. So, yes, quite a thought, really, isn't it?
It is quite a thought. And, I mean, you didn't just perform in the truck, did you? I mean, you actually went to venues where they had venues in different parts of the country. So you did both.
Yes, I did both. Yeah. Yeah, I even teamed up with some musicians in Manchester.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
To do some chamber music there, and played in some concert halls in Scotland, churches, established venues as well as outdoors and by the lake, Lake Windermere.
Beautiful!
In Edinburgh, on the outside there, but just right. I forget what it was called, but it was a beautifully set place. Actually, one of the most interesting places I played was the very final night in John O'Groats in Leith Art Centre. Wonderful little sort of auditorium seating 100 people, 50 to 100 people, and fantastic facilities and wonderful atmosphere. And to think that we've got such incredible venues in such remote parts of the country is very encouraging for the future of music.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Pretty amazing.
But I know there are doomsayers, but I think it's very much alive and kicking music. I know there are problems with funding and things, but certainly in terms of the interest, I think from local communities, really, I think it's always going to be there. So long may it continue.
Well, it was absolutely fantastic what you did. You must have been exhausted. I hope they fed you well wherever
you
went.
Well, I did. That was one of my strict guidelines in my my technical specifications, but I need to have certain foods and certain high protein foods. So I did. I did. I actually could have cycled back because of the wind direction. The wind was against me all the way up, and then as I left, the wind was obviously would have been behind me. So but fortunately, I was very fortunate with the weather as well. It was one fears the mist and gusty squalls of the northwest of Britain, but it was beautiful weather, and then it started raining when I left. So I was blessed, really.
Yes, yeah. The gods were on your side.
They were.
I think now we'll have Liszt, Hungarian Rhapsody number 2 in C sharp minor.
This I played a lot on the back of the
band. I thought you had.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was absolutely gorgeous. Now, I want to talk to you about you're going to be performing at the Birmingham Symphony Hall on November the 16th. Is that for one night?
Yes, one night only. Mozart Piano Concerto, which is part of the Mozart Requiem show, which is put on by Raymond Gubby. Very much looking forward to that. I've never played in Birmingham Symphony Hall before. I think it's a wonderful venue.
Yes.
All roads lead to Birmingham, actually, because I'm also teaching in the Birmingham Conservatoire this year.
I
feel very much at home there. So hopefully I'll have some of my students coming along. That's Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 21, which is probably one of the better known ones. Known perhaps ignominiously for it being the Elvira Madigan concerto.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, I remember that well. Yes.
written before she was a movie star, but
but used very well for the film, actually.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
But I've written my own cadenzas for those actually as well. So I look forward to have done a bit my own not composing, but certainly. I think it's very important for us to be able to improvise. Improvising was something that was very much part of the performing style of the day of Mozart. Not that I will be improvising, but I've certainly done my own cadenza, which is a nice thing to be able to done.
I'm sure that will go down very, very well. And then, so that's November the 16th. And then in the new year, you're going to the Royal Festival Hall on January the 29th.
Yes, that's with a wonderful young violist from China, Zhu Shen, and she won the Tertis International Viola Competition, and we're doing a sort of early evening 6 o'clock performance at the Festival Hall there, and then we're also playing at the Wigmore Hall a few days later, which is a full evening recital. I accompanied her during the competition. So fortunately, I picked the winner. So the rules of the competition state that you play with your accompanist in the competition is the one that you play with in the concert, prize winning concert. So I'm fortunate enough to have chosen a lucky number out of the hat.
Well, that's lovely, and you'll be performing at the Wigmore Hall, which is a wonderful venue,
particularly for chamber music. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know that we've just mentioned these particular dates, but I know you've got lots of dates in between. And then, of course, each year you're the artistic director of the Ulverston Festival. And I know you've had some brilliant musicians playing there with you. And this is just, you do this year after year after year. And that's become very popular.
Yes, well, I've done it. In fact, the festival was officially 10 years old yesterday because incorporated 10 years ago on October the 13th.
My birthday, actually.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. It's also, happy birthday. I should have played you happy birthday.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I hope you celebrated suitably as it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, no, so it's been... it's been quite a journey, and we've had very 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 wonderful artists and the highest caliber through our doors. Stephen Isselis being one of them, Tasman Little violinist, Emma Johnson clarinetist, Alina Ibragimova, we name it. Well, we've had quite a list there, so very happy to have been able to work with these people and see, be inspired by their excellence, professionalism and artistry. And we've given local people in Ulverston, some 10 very enjoyable years of music making.
And long may it continue.
Hopefully, yes. We'll be here in 10 years' time.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much for coming in.
Very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And I hope you will come back sometime to talk to me again about other things you're doing.
Certainly love to, yeah.
And we will just finish off with a bit of your rendition of the Chopin Nocturne in C-sharp, Opus Posthumus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.
The Jackie Capri Show!